I feel like the future of our church, not just this church, is in our children. I'm a grandmother, and I have worked in children's ministry since I became a Christian because I work with the idea that somewhere, someone else is working with my grandchildren. There's no bigger thrill than waiting for the children to come, running in jubilant and excited, and several of them run over and give me a big hug. I think it matters that they see a stranger outside their family that cares for them and cares for their future. So I appeal to the older generation of our church that your grandchildren are in another city and someone's going to be ministering to them. So step up and help the children of this church and pray for your children's teacher wherever they are.
Good morning, my name is Amanda Pettigo, and I'm the director of Munger Kids here at Munger. And I get to serve with Helen, who that video was, I get to serve with her on Wednesday nights. And what I mean by that is Helen prepares and teaches a lesson, and I sit and have snacks with the kids. It's really nice how that worked out. But just a second ago, we had a couple of our graduates stand up. We had three of them who served all week at VBS. They gave up their week, whatever they normally do, sleep till noon or whatever, but they gave up their week so that they could serve with the kids. Now, Helen, no offense, does not look a lot like our high school graduates. I just got booed. She doesn't look a whole lot like our high school graduates, but I don't look a whole lot like Helen. I don't look a whole lot like the high school graduates. And yet, all of us have found some way to teach the next generation the faith. We found some part of our lives that we can then pass down. And here's the thing. We know it's so obvious that it's our job to teach kids how to read. It's our job to teach interns the business. We understand those things. It makes sense. Somebody's got to do it. But often we fail to recognize that it's our job to teach the faith to the next generation. I want to warn you, today is our first experiment with not having pre-K Sunday school. So it could get rowdy today. Who knows? But I just want us to understand that it's our job to teach the next generation the faith. So it's a beautiful and wonderful thing that they're in here with us. So pre-K kids, elementary kids, junior high school, we're excited you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. Yeah, clap for, yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you're here. So over the next few minutes, I want to tell you a little bit about what it looks like to pass down the faith to the next generation, and I want to tell you a little bit about VBS as well. I think a jellyfish just fell. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that our church is filled with children. We thank you that we have an opportunity to pass down the faith. We pray that you would, through this time, show us what that looks like. Show us how to do it. Give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear. We love you. Amen. So when I was 4 years old, I moved to Huntsville, Texas. And we went to a small Methodist church downtown. And every Sunday, we'd go and we'd sit on the third row of that little church. And, you know, I was little, and I would get a little squirmy, but my mom would try, and she would make me little activities. So she would either have letters for me to trace, or she'd have pictures for me to draw. But eventually, you know, I'd get sleepy, or I'd get bored, or I'd get squirmy, and I would, as only a child could do, bend directly at the waist and lay my head in her lap. And you see, down the row, every Sunday, would sit a little old woman who was a widow named Sybil Turner. And she sat right down from us. And Sybil was, she was the height of society in her day. She was a pillar of the community. And you'd imagine that it would be appalling to her that a little child would lay down in the pew in the middle of the service. But every Sunday, she would lean down and she would grab my feet and she'd pull them up onto her lap. And so I'd just get to lie there during the rest of the service. You see, Sybil Turner was, like I said, she was a widow. And she had no children. She had no siblings. She was alone. See, this week at VBS on Monday, we taught the kids a couple of stories from the Bible. We looked at Luke chapter 15, and in it there are three parables right in a row, all talking about lost things. They're talking about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then a lost son, the prodigal son. You've probably maybe heard that story. But in Luke 15, it talks about the lost sheep. There's a shepherd, and he has 100 sheep, and he's got 99 who've stayed put, and one runs away. And it says that shepherd goes and finds that one sheep. And in verse 5, it describes how the shepherd feels when he finds the lost sheep. It says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And then the next parable is the parable of the coin. It's a little old woman, and she has 10 coins to her name, 10 coins. And she loses one. It doesn't sound like much to us, but it's a tenth of her net worth. She loses it. She searches and searches and searches, and she sweeps and sweeps and sweeps, and then she finds it. And in verse 9, it says, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And then the third story is of the prodigal son. It's a story that's actually very sad if you know the meaning of it, but this son, he goes to his father and he says, I want my inheritance now. He's basically saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. He goes and he takes the money and he goes off and does wild things and loses all his money. And he finally gets to a point where he's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Maybe I'll just go and ask my dad if I can just be a servant at his home. And so he goes back, and then starting in verse 20, it tells us what happens. It says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring a fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. We use these three stories to teach our kids this week that when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. Sybil Turner was a little old widow, had no family in the world, but she knew the truth that when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. She knew that she could sit in a church and a little family would sit right down the pew from her, and she would have family again. She knew the truth of when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. When I was in seventh grade, we had moved to Longview, Texas, a few years back. And when I was in seventh grade, my parents got divorced. And you can imagine, that's a traumatic time for any child. And my mom, being a good mom, decided she wanted to try to do anything she could do to help me adjust and to help me make sense of it. I was really into sports at the time. And so she went to my coaches at school and asked them if they would talk to me. And so the next day, somebody came and got me and took me down to their dingy basement office where there was a poster of a shirtless Patrick Swayze up on the wall. And it said, Hunk of the Decade. And they brought me in and they said, hey, if you like ever need to go to the counselor or something, just let us know. And I said, okay. And then they told me to go and change into my gym clothes. But there was also a young woman at our church. Her name was Kathy Bruton. And her parents also got divorced when she was in seventh grade. And every week, she would take me to Chili's, which I know to us, like super snooty 2018 Dallasites, that sounds totally lame. But in 1995 in Longview, Texas, Chili's was incredible. And she would take me there every week, and she'd buy me a chocolate milkshake. And we'd sit there, and she would tell me a little bit of her story. And then she'd ask me if I wanted to talk. You see, on Tuesday of VBS this week, we talked about the story of Mary and Martha. They're these two sisters who invited Jesus to their home. And Martha is the sister who's running around like a crazy person, and she's making sure the dishes are washed, and she's making sure the food is cooked, and she's making sure that the bathroom smells nice, and she's just doing all these things, running around like crazy, and her sister is just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And the story is in Luke chapter 10. And if you start with verse 38, it says, "And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Jesus replies, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not take it away from her.'" See, we taught this story to tell the kids that when we're worried, Jesus rescues. And Kathy Bruton knew that truth. She knew it to be true because when she was in seventh grade, her family fell apart. She had to move. Her financial situation was compromised. But 15 years later, she was able to share that truth that she learned to a young girl who was going through something similar. You see, we can only teach what we know or what we're learning. We have to, the way to pass down the faith is to take from what we've learned. To share. It seems normal, it seems understandable in other parts of our lives. We coach our kids' 6-year-old soccer team because at one point we were 6 and we've played soccer or we've watched soccer or we've read a book about soccer. We understand that we teach our kids to read because we can read, not because we invented reading. You see, we understand that it's our job to pass down the knowledge that we've been given. We know that the stove is hot, so we don't touch it. And we ask our kids to do the same. And it's not just I teach my kid. You heard Helen on the video. What'd she say? She said, somebody else is teaching my grandkids, and so I want to do the same for somebody else's. I didn't have a kid until a few months ago. But there are tons of children up on this stage. There are tons of children in our midst. And we have the opportunity to teach them. Now, let's see. I want to take a poll of the congregation. So just a raise of hands, a quick raise of hands. It'll be easy. How many of you have ever been worried? Oh, that is interesting. How many of you have ever struggled? That was one of our, struggled with anything. Really? Okay. Yeah, some of you don't have your hands up. Y'all are really tough. How many of you have ever sinned? That was one of ours this week. Yeah. So all of us have some experience. Now, this week on Friday, we taught our kids the story of a crippled man in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 3, and it's after Jesus has been resurrected and then ascended to heaven. And the disciples are in charge at that point, and they're supposed to be sharing the faith with the world. And Peter and John, two of his disciples, are going to the temple. And there's a man who's been there begging for years and years and years. And starting in verse 3, it says this. It says, when the man saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, I've never been crippled. I've never had to beg. So I might assume that this story, I can't teach it. I might assume that this story doesn't apply to me. But on Friday of VBS, we used this story to teach kids that when we're powerless, Jesus rescues. And Miss Pam, who was one of our snack people for the older groups, she helped pass out the snacks, so she was obviously one of my best friends. But she, that morning on her way to VBS, got stuck in our education building elevator. Word of warning for the future. She got stuck in the elevator, and the doors slowly opened, and she saw concrete at eye level. And that's not what you're supposed to see when the elevator doors open. And so, where I would have been a puddle on the floor, she prayed. And she said, God, I want to be on the right, I want to be on a floor. I want to be not looking at the floor. I want to be on any floor. Just make it a floor. And so she knew Jesus could rescue her, so she asked, and he did. And the doors closed and then opened back up on a floor. And Miss Pam used that story to teach our kids that same day that when you're powerless, Jesus rescues. Now, the thing is, the way for us to teach the kids our faith is that we have to experience God first. But we have to be looking for it. She could have fallen in a puddle on the floor. She could have forgotten that experience. She could have just assumed that the mechanics of it eventually worked themselves out. You see, in our Munger small groups, we spend half the time with everybody going around and sharing, how is your life in God? In other words, it's, how have you experienced God this week and how is it affecting your life? And each person goes around, and I've been in several small groups, and I found that you actually have to state to everyone, hey, the word God has to be in your answer somewhere. Because if not, it is so easy and so natural for us to just talk about how, you know, the to-do list of our lives. It's just easy for us to assume, you know, we're just walking through life. It's easy for us to look at our lives and just assume that that nice guy just happened to stop when our car broke down. We just see it, oh, the doctor just happened to stumble upon that article that happened to tell him how to heal our rare disease. We just assume, it's just easy to think that life just happens. But I believe that's not the case. I believe that what we taught the kids this week, that when we said that Jesus rescues, that when we say that God is moving, that God is active in our world, I believe it's true. We just have to be looking for it. We just have to say, God, where are you? And he shows up. And we see him. And it's true that He is moving and active in our lives. See, if you're not looking for it, you'll miss it. If you don't assume that Jesus will rescue, if you don't believe that Jesus will rescue, then you'll never see Him doing it. But that doesn't mean He's not doing it. See, we can only teach what we know. We can only teach what we've placed on our own hearts. So I want to do another, it's a little different kind of poll. Because I want to see who of us have experienced God working and God moving. I'm going to put you out on the spot a little bit. But we're going to do a little standing and sitting exercise. Just get those knees ready. Everybody feel it? Do you need to stretch? Everybody good? No? Hammies are okay? Okay. If you've ever been forgiven by somebody, would you stand? It's pretty incredible. All right, you can sit. If you've ever forgiven someone, will you stand? I know, I'm sorry. If you have bad knees, just you stay. Will you sit? I won't make you stand anymore because I think you've found the point. But if you've ever had a friend, if you've ever seen a baby be born, if you've ever seen a tree in the woods, if you've ever seen a near-miss car accident, go ahead and name it. You have experienced the goodness of God, and you have something to share with the next generation. You have something to pass down. And just in case you didn't stand, and that's fine, just in case you didn't, I want to teach you a little bit of scripture to have on your heart so that next time you will have something to share. We learned it this week at VBS, and it's in a song form because just like every one of us in here can still sing the alphabet song, when we put things to music, they stay in our heads and in our hearts. So we learned the first two verses of Psalm 121 in a song, and we kind of did call and response. So kids, do y'all still remember it?
Yes, yes.
Kids, do you still remember the song we learned this week? Yeah? Okay, well, you stand up, just the kids, and maybe if you served at VBS, you can help out. So you can stand too. If you served at VBS or if you were at VBS as a kid, will you stand up? All right, here's how it goes. I'm going to start, and you do your part. We'll go back and forth. Everybody else, I want you to be listening. Just listen this first time. You ready? Everybody feel ready? Do we need to warm up our voices like we did? Me, 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 just me? Okay.
I lift my eyes up, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth.
All right, kids, do you think we can teach everybody else that? No? Maybe true. Maybe true. All right, I'm going to make you stand one more time. Will you stand with me? We'll do it call and response first. Ready?
I lift my eyes up, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth.
Want us to try to sing it all together? You ready? I know you just sang it once. I think you can do it.
I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of
If you thought that you've never experienced God before, through this time, if you listen to me at all, you've learned three Bible stories and you've memorized two verses of Scripture. You're already ready to teach a whole month worth of Sunday school. I'm going to invite the band up. And I want us to sing one more song, but I also want to invite you to come forward to the rails. Because I think you're either in a position where you're not sure if you've experienced God, and maybe you want to ask Him, God, will you show yourself to me? Will you show me what you're doing in my life? Or maybe you've experienced God and you know it, but you've been afraid to pass it down because you don't think you know enough. You didn't invent reading, but you know how to read. So maybe you need to come forward and ask God where He's calling you to serve, where He's calling you to give back. Or maybe you want to come up and pray with your family. Maybe you've not taken the time to pass down the faith, or maybe you're trying right now. Maybe you've been working on it, and you want to take a little time to pray together. Will you just use this time, these next few minutes? Will you come forward and pray, or will you sing with us? Amen.